Blog Talk Radio. We Fix Credit. Are you bound by medical bills, child support liens, evictions, late payments, repossession, bankruptcy, or student loans? Today, you can turn that around. Time to be no longer bound. Hi, my name is Dove Stanton, and the name of my credit restoration company is No Longer Bound Financial Services. We are a debt-free company with the means to help thousands of people restore and rebuild their credit. Our customers have been able to obtain their dream homes, dream cars, refinancing, and building a greater future for them and their families. We dispute all negative and erroneous items from all three major credit bureaus. In closing, we can help you restore your credit, which in turn will restore your financial future. The way to reach me is by telephone or text at 678-760-6056, or you can email me at the number 4, the letter U, betterdays at gmail.com. Time to be no longer bound. You gotta have faith.
All right. Hello, everybody. This is Elder Richard Taylor, your host for Praise Tabernacle Bible Study tonight. We'd like to welcome everybody that's listening in tonight all over the world. All of our brothers and sisters that's over in England listening tonight, and our brothers and sisters over in Germany, and our brethren over in the Bahamas. We want to give thanks to everyone that's listening all over the world and in this country. We want to thank the our members of Praise Tabernacle Church that are tuning in tonight, and anyone else that could be listening all over the United States. We just want to say welcome to another Praise Tabernacle Bible study on our Tuesday night. Our panel was on tonight with Elder Bluett and Evangelist Stanton and Elder Oliver. They are on with us tonight. And tonight I will be your teacher tonight. And so we're just going to ask the panel to chime in at any given time, and I will give them room to speak on what we're talking about tonight. And I just want to just say welcome again. It's an honor. I think we may have a guest on that I gave a manager at my job, a friend of mine, a coworker of mine. I gave her a number, the number to call in tonight. So hopefully she's listening in tonight. Janice Brown and my sister, Prophetess LaRonda Taylor. I hope that she's listening in tonight over in Texas. So we just wanted to say welcome. We give God the glory and the honor for another day to worship Him, to praise Him, and just to go into His Word and study His Word and get input from our panel tonight. And we just say thank you, Lord God. We give you glory. We give you honor, Lord God. We pray that your word will have free course tonight, Lord God, that someone will get something out of your word tonight, Lord God, if it's just one person that can gain something from your word. But we pray that your word will have free course, that it'll touch everybody's ears, Lord God, that it'll touch everybody's hearts and minds, Lord God, and lift us up tonight as we go through your word. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, again, like I said before, I will be your teacher tonight, and we just want to say welcome. And I failed to mention our pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, and his wife, Lady Zach. We pray that they're listening on tonight on behalf of Praise Tabernacle Church. So I didn't want to leave them out. So I just want to hope that they're listening tonight as well, and all the other members of Praise Tabernacle Church. So tonight, we have a familiar word. Hopefully it's familiar to a lot of people that read their Bibles, and hopefully we can get a little nugget out of it. And what we want to talk about tonight is just simply called the thorn. T-H-O-R-N. The thorn. And for those of you, we'll be coming out of 2 Corinthians that have your Bibles. We'll be coming out of 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. And again, you know, when you read this, you know, I when I was studying this, I got some things out of this that I didn't know or quite recognized before in the hundreds and hundreds of times I've probably read this chapter. And it started with the first six verses that, you know, I didn't realize Paul was talking about himself in the first six chapters. So we're going to go through it, read it, you know, because we all have a thorn or something that vex us or that God may use to keep us humble so we don't get too big-headed, you know, in ministry or thinking we all of that and that we've arrived and that we are all that in a bag of chips, so to speak, you know. So metaphorically, the thorn can represent anything to anybody. And the thorn could be a temptation. The thorn could be an illness or a sickness. Thorn could be anything that could be used to do a lot of things. And it could either drive you to the Lord or it could make you pull away from the Lord because of resentment or anger, because you have to deal with whatever this thorn is. And we're going to read and we're going to find out that it's okay to have this thorn that the enemy can send someone to buff at you and to press you up against the thorn to, you know, and what it's designed to do, especially in this chapter, this thorn is designed to make you and keep you humble. So let's get right into it. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and we're going to start at verse 1. All right. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such and one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Verse 4. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Verse 5. And such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. Verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. All right, we're going to stop right there. So in these six verses, you know, after studying this, I realized that Paul had a vision. And the vision was of him going into the third heaven and seeing what is called paradise. And he was privileged and favored by the Lord to have this opportunity. And I'm going to let Evangelist Stan and Elder Bluett and Elder Oliver, y'all can jump in anytime. If I miss on something, just jump in and we can keep going. But I'll give you time to to interject anything you might have. And so in these first six verses, you know, and let's go to verse 2. He said, I knew a man in Christ above 14 years, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell. God knows such and one caught up into the third heaven. And this is Paul said, he didn't know whether he was in the body or out of the body, but he knew he had a vision of paradise, going into the third heaven. He was so favored by God, by Jesus, by Christ, that he was favored to see things in the third heaven and to hear them speak of things in the third heaven that it was not legal for any man to repeat. And so this is where he finds himself, you know, and he begins to say in verse 5, of such and one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in my infirmities. And so he's telling the Corinthian church, he's letting them know that, you know, I've been favored. And Paul came from a lineage of prestige. He came from a lineage. He's always been, when he was Saul, he was always favored. He was always he could speak two languages and things like that. And he had all kind of different education. And I'm getting a lot of feedback. Are we all right? Can y'all hear me?
Yeah, you good? Yeah.
Okay. So he was a man that came up, you know, had a lot of, you know, in today's terms, degrees and knowledge and wisdom, and he was highly educated. So he's always been favored, you know. And then when he became Saul, God used him to the extent that to be a witness to the Gentile nation. And even though he was going through a lot of things at the time, but God still showed him favor. And this is what Paul is saying: don't look upon me as being this great person. Look at me as the what God has called me to be. Even though I know this and I know that, I have the education to do this and that, but look at the God that operates in me. Don't look at the man. And so that's basically what he's saying in verse 6. But though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I would say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. So don't, you know, so this is what he's saying. Don't, you know, because, you know, a lot of times we can find ourselves puffed up and think we more than, or think we've arrived, or think we're smarter than the next person. And so God has to use some type of a thorn, so to speak, to keep us humble, to keep us level, to bring us down to keep us balanced. But we ain't so mighty, or we don't think we so mighty, we so great. We, you know, and that's what Paul is saying. He said, I have been to see, I've been favored to see the third heaven. I've been favored to see paradise. I've been favored to hear in the visions what they are saying here. But don't think of me as to be this great person, because I've witnessed this, because I've experienced this, these things. And so God uses, Christ uses these things, the thorns in our lives, to keep us humble, to keep us seeking his face, to keep us worshiping
all right.
him. But those things, that thorn can do just the opposite if we allow it to, when the enemy comes to buffet us. So let's go into verse 7, okay? Elder Blewett, you got anything you'd like to add?
Yeah, I'd like to add that Paul was the best of them as a Pharisee. He was very mm-hmm. zealous of the Mosaic law, and he knew mm-hmm. it word by
right.
word. And that's why he prosecuted the Christians at first, because he thought that they were doing wrong or negative toward the law. But on
mm-hmm.
his road on Damascus,
right.
to apprehend those and bring and put those in prison, God stopped him in his tracks And Jesus right. met him where he was in his destructive way of doing things. So
right.
when he was converted and his eyes were where he could see again, he was blind after he saw Jesus. That's why he calls himself an apostle, because he saw Jesus
right.
and Jesus made him an apostle. But on his way to Damascus, all this happened that changed his thoughts. And then after he was made to see again by the man putting his hands on him and praying for him, he was that's when he was caught up to the third heaven. That's mm-hmm. when God gave him his revelation. That's when the revelation that God gave Jesus through the angel, and he gave it to the angel, and the angel gave it to John on Patmos, was the same revelation that God, that Jesus gave Paul. That's why he,
mm-hmm.
he's talking about a man.
Mm-hmm.
And called up to the third heaven. He got the personal mm-hmm. story from Jesus Christ. That's why
right.
he was able to call himself an apostle out of the 12 apostles. Right? So right now at this point, he's defending himself with the truth of God, with the truth of the gospel, and the prior trap, defending himself. And now he's still defending himself, not to be one caught up in himself, but caught up in the word of God. Great lesson.
All right. Anyone else? You understand?
No, it's good. I'm listening.
Okay.
It's great. Thank you.
Okay. So now we go right into verse 7. And we're talking about the thorn in the flesh now. And verse 7 reads, "At least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure." So let's stop right there. So now he's talking about, at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of revelations, you know, and acknowledging his abundance of revelations of the word. "There was given to me a thorn in the flesh." Now, see, we don't know if that thorn is, you know, it's kind of murky there. If that thorn in his flesh, again, like we said, was it a temptation? Was it some kind of pain in his body that could be easily buffeted from the enemy, or was it an illness? Or so it's not really written in my research. I couldn't find to know what exactly the thorn was, and I couldn't find it anywhere in my study. But we know that the apostle gives an account of the methods of God to keep him humble and to prevent being lifted up above measure. And this, he speaks of the balance of the account that was given before of the visions and revelations he had had. So, you know, this was the keep him humble. And so we find ourselves with that same or with a thorn, maybe not the same type of thorn, because my thorn may be different than the Elder Blewett or Elder Oliver or Evangelist Stanton. You know, my thorn may be something that God uses to keep me humble, to keep me level-headed, to keep me, you know, in a place to where I know that this thorn can get a whole lot worse if I don't have Jesus on my side. You know, because we all, if we be honest, we all have a thorn in our side. We all have something, with metaphorically what that thorn is could be anything. We can think that, you know, I'm above this and I'm above that, but you can find yourself at any minute in the flesh and succumb and be pulled away from the things of God because of this thorn. Or the thorn can push you. Because I believe Paul wrote somewhere, he said, "I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus." So I know that, I know for me, my thorn has to push me. It has to propel me. It has to get me to the things of God. It keeps me grounded, because I know that if I slip up and succumb to this thorn, it could kill me. And that's a scary proposition to be in. And I don't want to fight. I don't want this thorn. What my thorn is to pull me away from the things of God. Can I still teach with this thorn? And with this thorn that the enemy sends a messenger to buffet. When it comes to buffet me, can I still teach the word of God when I'm buffeted from Satan because of this thorn? Can I still show love and peace and grace and mercy to my fellow brother and sister when I know that I'm dealing with this thing that keeps me humble, with this thing that keeps me in that face of God? Or can I allow this thorn to get me unfocused, to get me off kilter, to get me off balance, to get me in a place to where I'm upset all the time or I'm mad with God because I have to deal with this in my life? Whatever it is, whatever your thorn, the representation of that thorn is in your life, it just seems like it won't never go away. It just seems like this thing is always here. We have vices in our life that we know that when we was in the world had us bound and had us trapped. Could that be a thorn in your side now as a man and woman of God? Because God won't, he let you know it's still there. And if you don't do what I need you to do, it could do something to you physically.
Yes, sir. Yes,
and
sir.
And spiritually. So let's move right along in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, this is Paul saying that he prayed three times to the Lord. And he asked the Lord, can you take this from me? Because obviously he don't want to deal with this. Whatever it is, whatever this thorn in his flesh is, he didn't want to deal with it. Because whatever it does to him, it sore vexes him. And
yes,
so
sir.
He says that I besought the Lord thrice, three times, that it might depart from me. How many times have we prayed to the God, to the Lord and be like, Lord, please take this from me. Take this thing from me. And he may take everything from you that needs to be taken from you. But that one thing that you know is right there, that the enemy comes and buff at you, push at you, try to get you to do X, Y, Z, to see if you can see if he can get you to succumb to that thorn in your flesh. And Paul don't want to even have to deal with that. It looks like here as we read it, that he prayed to the Lord three times to ask him.
Hey,
go ahead.
So one of the reasons why Paul is saying this, if you go to verse 7, unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. At least I should be exalted above measure. Paul was getting so much knowledge and understanding mm-hmm. of Jesus. He was getting so much revelation
right.
or direct word, or he had gotten so much revelation from Jesus before he actually started preaching. He got so much. Now, the example of that is, just say like when I teach Sunday school, I can take the compliments and let that go to my head, right?
Right.
Or I can say, to God be the glory, and try to stay as humble as I can. And most times when I get home, I have to think about that, and I have to thank God for what he gave me while I was teaching, other than what I studied,
right.
Getting so much revelation that he could not allow that to go to his head.
Right.
Right. He had to have, and in his ministry, he always had the Jews that was trying to teach other than what he was teaching.
Mm-hmm.
Through his whole ministry, even being in prison in Rome, until he was beheaded. So he was always prosecuted by the people, right? That was his thorn, to keep him humble in what he had seen in Jesus Christ by the personal greetings of Jesus Christ and the revelation of Jesus Christ. So it's something about getting personal knowledge about something, and you run with it, and you think it's all you, and you get puffed up.
Mm-hmm.
So that thorn was given to him. It could have been another thorn that would have had him not pray for it, but the thorn that was given him was enough to humble him of the knowledge he was getting from Jesus Christ. So we just got to be careful of what we think we know and how it was given to us to know.
Right.
Amen.
Good point.
Amen.
Very good point.
I want to say that also is a reminder to us that we have to share the gospel. It's a reminder.
Mm-hmm.
See, I heard this expression one time, people are so fat with the word. Well, they're so fat with the word because they give it out to others.
Right.
You're not supposed to just get it for yourself, but you're supposed to share with God's word. And this is reminding me, you know, Paul, like Elder was saying, Paul was so knowledgeable. He was so knowledgeable, and he was even saying, okay, yeah, I sought the Lord. So he was telling them, I just as I told you to pray to God, he was telling them the same thing. But we have got to be reminded that we have to encourage other people with what God has given us, with what God has done for us, and not just keep our mouth shut. You know, how many times you've been in the grocery store and you've seen somebody who looked like they may have been hurting and you wanted to stop to say, are you okay today? And just talk to them and encourage them, but you didn't. You kept moving. But as sons and daughters, we're supposed to spot those people with discernment and give an encouraging word.
Mm.
Yeah, over to you.
That's so important. You know, it's so important. And like Elder Blewett was saying about Paul, you know, he was like Evangelist Stanton just said, he was getting fat off the word, off of what Jesus was giving him. And he knew that because what he was giving him, he knew he had to keep him humble, and he knew he had to keep him not lowly, but you know, but just keep him, you know, balanced. And Paul even said that he learned how to be abased, and he learned how to be abound. You know, he know how to be up, he know how to be down, and at the same time, he's still teaching and sharing the word, even to the ones that didn't, that was trying to teach something different than what he was teaching, you know. And so that was, that could, like Elder Blue said, that could have been, we don't know exactly what his thorn was, but we know what our thorn is. I know what mine is. And if we be honest, we look at the man in the mirror, we know what our thorn is, but can we still push? Can we still press into the Lord? And still ask him to continue to share his word with us, continue to give us revelation. Even if he don't take this thorn away, can we still say, okay, Lord God, I got you. As long as you can maintain me, and we're going to go right into what the Lord says in verse 9. And after Paul prayed three times to the Lord and asked him, can you make this depart from me? And he said unto me, and in my Bible this is written in red, this is what Christ is saying to Paul. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. We'll stop right there. He said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in your weakness, or in weakness. So he's letting Paul know, and as we read this, the same thing and rules apply to us, that his grace is sufficient for us. And that if we know that and we can continue to walk in that, and we can know that God got our back. And that even when we feel weak because of whatever our thorn is at any particular time, that he is our strength, and his strength is made perfect in our weakness. So if we understand that, there's no reason why we can't continue to do what the Lord says to ask us to do, or teach us to do, or share with us to do. And it's for everybody. It's not for, this is just not because Paul was who he was as an apostle. It's for everybody. It don't matter what your title is. Even if you have a title, you may not have a title, but the same rule applies to every one of us. That we have to get, as Evangelist Sam said, we have to get the word out, regardless of what is buffing against us from the enemy, and that thorn in our side, or that thorn in our flesh, not particularly in our side, but that thorn in our flesh. What intimidates our flesh? What manipulates our flesh? What tricks our flesh? And in our carnal thinking as well. You know, that could be our thorn. That could be your thorn, my thorn, whatever that is. So we have to understand that we can continue to do the work and the will of the Father in spite of, because Jesus said in verse 9, he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. How many of us can say that? I'd rather glorify in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. You know, that's heavy right there. You know, how many people would say they'd rather glorify in their infirmities, whatever their infirmity is, so that the power of Christ can rest upon them? Because he said earlier in the verse, he said, where my strength is made perfect in weakness. So then Paul, and then he says, most gladly, not something, most gladly. He's very happy to do it now. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmity than so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. That's deep to me. It may not be to anybody, but that's deep. That you know. And again, it takes me back to where Paul said, "I've learned to be abased and I've learned to be abound." Whichever state he finds himself in, he's learned how to operate. Either way, he knows how to continue to speak and preach and teach and share the gospel. Either way, whether he's in prison, you know, wherever he is, he's learned to do these things. You know,
mm-hmm.
Elder Oliver, are you with us, Elder Oliver? So I guess not. So would you guys like to add anything as we go into the verse 10?
Yeah, I'm here with you.
Yeah.
But go ahead. I'm taking in these notes.
Hey,
okay.
Hey, teacher, can we go back 1 second?
Yeah, by all means.
All right, so you went into 8 and 9, but it refers back to verse 7. And at least I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation. The abundance of the knowledge that I have from Jesus personally, through what I know now from Jesus personally. And that's why he can say, for this thing in verse 8, for this thing I besought the Lord twice that it might be far from me. And then, see the thing about Paul, which Paul was a powerful preacher, powerful apostle. The thing about Paul is that he got his word from Jesus Christ personally. You know, a lot of us read and try to get knowledge and preach from it or teach from it. He got his from God personally, right? So for him not to be exalted, again, thinking about all this knowledge we have and how we teach, how we get through, how we are received from people that we're teaching to or preaching to, he was humbled. And when he met the man that took him up out of measure, out of state, out of who he really was, when he saw God or when he saw Jesus, it humbled him to not be more, because he saw the glory, because he got the personal revelation. And it's in abundance that God is feeding him to feed the people. So he has already, before he can get to a state of mind to where he can lift himself up, God gave him a thorn, which was of Satan, and which we know he was prosecuted everywhere he started a church until the day he was beheaded by the Romans. All right? So that was his thorn. So if we get a true revelation from God, it's very smart that we don't lift ourselves up or let people lift us up. Paul is explaining that, and he's explaining that to every teacher, every preacher, and every person, even without a title, that no matter what comes out of your mouth that God gives you, don't get lifted up, because God will send something that will humble us, and he accepts the humbleness. And Jesus explained to him that his weakness was, or his strength was made perfect in weakness. So Paul said, I gladly accepted then that when I am weak, I am strong in Christ. And so we got to understand the whole thing of that. We got to keep all of that in mind, that when we think we're weak, we're strong if we're in the Word of God. So we can't let people lift us up. We can't let people put us on a plateau. We can't let people lift us up because of what we say about the Word of God. And we got to be very, 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 very careful how we take compliments. The compliment goes to God, that he's using us as a vessel for his word.
That's right.
Keep that in mind.
That's right.
And Elder, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. I would like to say, because if you think about, especially this day and time, when you hear prophets or ministers talk and they say that they got a word from the Lord, what happens a lot of time is people begin to focus on them. People begin to look to them for a word instead of going to God. People begin to say, oh, did you hear prophet such and such, you know, he gave a word, you know, or I'm going to go see, or I want to hear, or, you know, your focus begins to be on the person instead of on God. And God is not pleased with that. It should not be about us. And you hear so many people say, well, you know, I heard from God, I heard from God, I heard from God. You know, I have to question that, you know, because I'm like, you sure that's God and not what you ate last night at dinner? I mean, you know, because it's like always seem to have a word that you got from God. And I know not that God doesn't speak, but I would have to question really,
why do you think that's so, Evangelist Penn? Why do you believe that people always, you know, like to draw attention to themselves? Because that's what it sounds like, you know, and it's more about them than it is about anything else.
Well, because,
you know,
people, they start liking the attention.
Right.
They start liking fame. And if anything, being sons and daughters of the Most High, we should be more so than trying to be above and trying to be in the limelight. I look over the last God in your ministry, how they profit financially, how they profit financially. Now, if there's something wrong with you receiving money, but when you begin to make money the focus of everything, and
right.
you begin in that limelight, they love that attention. And that's how it's to be. So I think people have to find ways. I'm getting to the point where it's about me and not about Christ.
Yep. Because
wow. Hey, Elder Taylor, can you hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. I think the first lady wants to make a comment. I hope I'm reading my switchboard right. I think she wants to make a comment.
Okay. Lady Zachary.
Maybe I was wrong, but this is a good lesson, Elder Taylor. I'm trying to run the switchboard and listen at the same time. It's kind of complicated, but I'm really enjoying this message. But the question that you just asked about why do people feel like they want to take the credit away from the Lord, you know, I've been in church my whole life, and I've seen a lot of people, even myself, get a puffed up spirit. And a lot mm-hmm. of times we start out good and we start out genuine, but we like that attention. And you got to remember, the devil liked attention too. That's why he got kicked out of heaven. And it's very easy, especially when you're in the ministry and you're ministering the word, and people are looking for you for answers. It's very easy to get that puffed up spirit, and for us mm-hmm. to say, "Well, the Lord told me to tell you this." And like Evangelist Stan said, they probably had some pork chops that night, and they was dreaming some stuff they ain't have no business. And they want to take credit for it. And I've seen that happen a lot in the church. So that's why it's very careful. We got to be careful with who we listen to and what they're saying to us.
That is so very true. And I think that's the point I believe that Paul is trying to get across here, you know, and how the Lord dealt with him, or how the Lord dealt with him. Regarding this, because he was so well endowed with information and knowledge, and as Elder Blewett said, because they came straight from on high, they came straight from the Lord. And he didn't want to walk in all the attention and be puffed up. But the same people that puff you up are the same people bring you down. And it is, you know, as long as you're telling people what they want to hear, they'll puff you up and have your head big, so doggone big you can't even walk into the room, you know. So we have to be careful of that. And this is why I think I believe that Paul is getting this information out to the Corinthian church and to the people, letting know that hey, don't puff me up, you know. Even though I know this and I know that, and I've been highly favored and I hear straight from God, you know, but don't think of me more exceedingly than what I am. And don't, you know, you have to see the Christ in me. And that's where we have to be today. We have to see the Christ in who's ever sharing, in who's ever speaking. You know, we can't, and you know, a lot of people are always looking for a word. You know, if you got all these books in the Bible, you can get a word from, you know. Everybody's always looking for somebody to, you know, hey bro, can you get a word for me, man? Like you a soothsayer or something. You know, like you know, you can just, oh, let me just ask God real quick to give you an answer, you know, and it don't work that way. You know, and so and when you do things like that, now you on murky ground. Now you beginning to deal with stuff that, you know, that ain't of God. That now you into necromancy. Now you into things that ain't really, you know, of God at all. You know, and that's what the enemy will come to do. Because like Elder Oliver said, that the enemy likes attention too. And if he can puff you up and get people to puff you up and make you think you this and that, and the other, and now you saying stuff that ain't of God just to get the attention, and that's when you get in big trouble, and then I believe again that's why the thorn was in his flesh, in Paul's flesh, that he will remember not to do things like that, even though he had the information that he got from God, the way that he got it from the Lord. You know, it was just a reminder. Stay humble. Stay in your place. Jesus let me know, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Not you. I am the one that died for the sins of the world. Not you. You are a yielding, humble vessel that is being used by me. You're not doing this of yourself. You're doing this because of who I am in you. You know, so I believe that's how, you know, he operates. The Lord operates in us. He wants us to be humble. You know, and like I said a couple weeks ago, humbleness does not mean weak. You know, and because I think the Lord Jesus Christ, when he walked this earth, he exuded what humbleness was. You know, because all the power that he had, you know, a lot of people wouldn't have never known it the way he walked the earth and the way that he showed himself to be with all of the great power that he had, that he had and that he walked with. You know, and that's what we have to be today. And I think that's he's a perfect example. And I think that's where he was trying to get Paul to stay at, where he was trying to get Paul to be at. You know, even as he continued to feed him, so that Paul can continue to share the word. You know, so we have to, as men and women of God, regardless of title, whatever your thing you think your title is, or whatever, you know, you call yourself, we have to be a humble, yielding vessel, so that God can use us, and we know that it's him that's doing the work through us, and not us of ourselves, you know. So let's go. If nobody has anything else, we're going to go into the last verse, which is verse 10. And it reads, therefore, I take pleasure. And here again, he's saying he's taking pleasure in his infirmities, right? And he's taking pleasure in reproaches and in necessities and in persecutions and in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And we have to believe that, you know, because, you know, there's going to be a lot of these things that we're going to deal with in this walk with Christ. We're going to have infirmities. We're going to have reproaches. We're going to have necessities. We're going to have persecutions and distress. We're going to have distresses for Christ's sake. He's doing this for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong. And like Elder Blue was saying, it was the Jews, the Orthodox Jews that was doing these things, that was going against Paul, you know, preaching something different that he was preaching, you know. So it was a lot of things. Even though he received the knowledge and the wisdom straight from the throne room of Christ, you know, he had a lot of enemies that was against him, that was teaching him, trying to preach something different. You know, but he stayed and he maintained and he continued to press and he continued to push and he continued to stay in the face of God, whether no matter what situation or circumstance that he found himself in. You know, he continued to stay and press and to complete the mission that God had called him to do all the way up until his death. So, and that's where we have to be, as it translates to this day and age, and to this time. We have to be dogmatic in our approach to things of God. You know, we have to be a vessel that's going to be used, and wherever God will use us, wherever He will have us, whatever situation that we find ourselves in as individuals. You know, like Evangelist Stan said, can you talk to that person that you see at Walmart or in Kroger or wherever you see somebody look like they may be in distress? Can you share something with them that can help their day get a little better? You know, and it's not always about always giving somebody money. It could just be an encouraging word that can keep somebody from committing suicide. You know, regardless of what's going on in your life, can we still do that? You know, can we be so bogged down with what's vexing us or our own personal thorns that we can't share the gospel with nobody else? You know, be a witness. You know, and that's the way it is in the world today. There's not enough of us. There's not enough witnesses that's sharing the gospel, I don't believe. Because everybody is so caught up in themselves and not sharing the gospel the way that it should be. So I'm going to end it right there. Anybody would like to add anything as we prepare to close?
I'd like to add one more thing. Great teaching tonight, great subject. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is talking to Timothy. And this is after Paul got the revelation. This is after Paul had been accomplished apostle, after his lessons from God about the thorn. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desire a good work," right? So we drop down to verse 6. "Not a novice," meaning somebody that's new in the word of God, or somebody even young. Somebody that's new in the word of God, new to this Christianity. So it says, "Not a novice. He's being lifted up with pride. He falls into the condemnation of the devil." And that's what Paul was seeing. And Paul had to deal with Satan, with the Jews that was contradicting what he was saying to gain the people back to the Mosaic law. See?
Mm-hmm.
So we can't, you know, we have to be careful of how, and again, we have to be careful how we accept praise from people. We have to be careful how we react to what we've done through the word of God. Just always speaking the truth is going to always bring a negative response. It's always going to bring a negative response from somebody somewhere, right? So in our weakness or in our humbleness, if we're still staying in the word of God, then are we strengthened to keep on keeping on in the truth and preaching or teaching or helping people by the word of God? So we can't be a novice in this thing. We can't just wake up one day and say, "I want to do this, that, and the other in the word of God." We have to have that revelation of Jesus Christ. We have to have that revelation from studying, from teaching and studying. Teaching and studying goes together. But you can't have all that without preaching. So we can't be a youngster in this thing. We can't be a babe in Christ, meaning we just got saved and now we want to do this, that, and the other. We can't do that. So Paul was humbled by Jesus himself. As great a preacher as he was, and we got to keep that in mind, he has most of the New Testament is after Paul. So we have to keep in mind, as great as Paul was in the word of God, we have to humble ourselves even more than he did before we get that thorn that we can't handle and that would take us away from the word of God. So we have to be careful. We have to give God all the praise for the word that he has given us to give out. We have to be humble. We have to be humble. Great teaching. Great teaching tonight.
All right. Evangelist Stan, you like to add anything?
No, you guys said it. Yeah, great lesson. Just a reminder of to walk in humbleness. Just a reminder that we're the sons and daughters of the Most High God, and we should lift him up and not ourselves.
Right.
I seek the masses, yes. Men of every birth, for an answer Jesus gave a key. He said, if I be lifted up, up from
right.
the
come on.
I all men unto me. It's not
that's
us
right.
does the drawing. He does the drawing. We're just supposed right. to spread the word of God. Thank you, Elder. Appreciate it.
Amen. That's a great point. Great point.
Yeah.
Elder Oliver.
It's a great, yeah, I just wanted to piggyback off what Elder Blewett and Evangelist Stanton just said. But it maybe is my opinion, and you can correct me before you close out, but it's a very hard medium to balance, because if you're studying, and I want to say the word discernment, you got to have discernment, because sometimes we could use discernment in a lot of areas, and sometimes, because when you tell the truth to people, and sometimes the truth hurts, it can go against you. And then also sometimes you could be saying something because you want to uplift yourself, like you have all the knowledge. You know, sometimes because we're, and I'm not going to say anybody on the phone or elders, but some elders I've been associated with, because we have the title elder, we're better than everybody. We look down. So when we're talking to people, we're not looking at them eye to eye. We're talking down to them. So it's hard for them to receive what we're saying. And it's hard to tell us something because we'd have been puffed up so much. It's a real, I've experienced,
yeah.
so I know. And because I experienced yeah. it, I know people that have puffed up spirit. And I know when they tell me something, because a couple weeks ago I said that the lesson was for me, I'm going through something. I get a lot of people calling me trying to teach me what I'm telling them I'm having issues with, but the Lord is already working it out in me. And they want to have a puffed up spirit. Well, Elder, you can't be thinking like that. You can't do it. And I know that. But when you put yourself out there sometimes, it's hard, at least for me, because when you're telling someone the truth, you get people coming at you, well, you shouldn't be that hard. You think you know everything. And it's the truth, and it's coming from the Lord. And then it has a reverse effect, is when you're trying to tell someone something, but you're looking down on them as you tell them. So I've experienced that. I don't know if I'm making sense or not, but I used to be one of them puffed up preachers that thought that my stuff didn't stink and looked down on people. And I'm not like that now, but now when you tell them people the truth and they don't receive it, they want to throw that on you. Well, you just think you're better than that. No, that's just what the Lord is saying. It's the scripture. It's the Bible. I don't have to tell you. There's anyone else that sees you that's going through something, they will tell you the same thing. And I really do appreciate the lesson, because it helps me. It humbles me. It keeps me that I have to be humbled when I teach, when I preach, and even if I'm in the store and the Lord was leading me to say something, or he's not leading me to say anything. We just have to learn to humble ourselves and be led by the Spirit. And the only way we can be led by the Spirit is we have to know the word for ourselves, and we have to study it daily. And sometimes when I'm in places, the Lord say, no, shut it down, leave it alone. It's not the time or the place. And then sometimes he'll tell you to go right ahead and do it. But you have to be in line and in tuned in the Spirit. That's all I want to say. I could talk all night, but I'm done. Great lesson, Elder.
All right. Thank you, Elder Oliver and Elder Blewett and Evangelist Stanton, our panel tonight. Thank everybody that's tuned in and listening to Praise Tabernacle Bible Study here on Tuesday night with me and with us as we just share the word. And as you can tell, you know, we may have somebody that's saying they're teaching, but we got input from our panel that hopefully somebody could get something through a word that was spoken either through myself or one of our panel members, and take it with you and share it with someone else. Share this word with someone else may need it, and that just get a little nugget. Just share it with me. Say, hey, I'm sharing this with you because I love you. I think about you. I care about you. You know. So thank everybody for tuning in. wherever you're listening from tonight. We just want to thank you for joining us tonight. And again, like I said before, we hope that someone got something out of it tonight, you know. And if you don't know the Lord for yourself, please just say, Lord, come into my heart, come into my mind. I confess I'm a sinner. I need to be saved by grace. And I believe that Jesus died on the cross, and I believe that God, the Father, raised him from the dead. And I believe that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the Father. And I confess with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart, that Jesus was raised from the dead. And if you need Jesus, just all you have to do is just say that. Lord, come into my heart. Forgive me. I repent of every sin, of everything that I've committed. I need to be saved. I need to be set apart from the world. And he will do it. He will save you. And then get around some Bible teaching pastors or a pastor, people, elders, evangelists, and learn and grow and develop. Learn how to fight the enemy. And I promise you, it'll be well with your life. You know, because one day we're gonna leave this earthly body, and we're gonna spend eternity somewhere. And it's your choice, it's my choice on where we will spend eternity. So, with that being said, I just want to give our schedule out for the week as we always do on for Praise Tabernacle Church. And on Mondays we have D&K Bible Break, which is on 7 p.m. on Monday nights. And again, on Tuesday nights, we're here with Praise Tabernacle Church with me as your host, Elder Richard Taylor, on behalf of Bishop Omar Zachary and his wife, Lady Zachary, on Tuesday nights. And then on Thursday nights, we have Bishop Omar Zachary and family that they're on at 7 p.m. on Facebook Live, and I believe on same Chaos Block Talk Radio as well. And then on Sunday mornings, we Praise Tabernacle Church Sunday morning service is live on Facebook Live at 9 a.m. sharp Sunday mornings. That is our weekly schedule. Feel free to write them down and get in tune with us. Hopefully soon we have a way where you can get in contact with us and we can respond to some requests, some prayer requests from everyone that's listening that may have a prayer request they would like to send in. So we just want to thank, again, we want to thank everyone that's been listening tonight, and we just want to give God all the glory and all the honor. And we will pray our prayers out. The Lord, we thank you. We give you glory right now. We honor you tonight, Lord God. We pray that your word had free course, Lord God, that your word would touch the hearts and the minds of the people that were listening tonight, Lord God. I pray that you touch the panel tonight, Lord God, Elder Victor Bluett, Evangelist Dove Stanton, Elder Derek Oliver, that you touch the panel tonight, Lord God, and that you're moved by your Holy Ghost power upon our Bishop Omar Zachary and his family, his wife, Lady Zachary, Lord God, tonight, that you touch everyone that's been listening as part of Praise Tabernacle Church and everyone that's been listening all over the United States and all over the world, Lord God, that you have free course in their life, Lord God. Touch and meet the needs of the people tonight, Lord God, whatever they need and whatever they are in need of, Lord God, that you will have your way and meet their needs. I decree and I declare peace, joy, love, and happiness in the lives of the people, good health and strength in their mind, in their bodies, in their souls, Lord God. And we just love you, Lord. We pray that you would just create in us a clean heart and renew a right spirit with us as we go throughout the rest of this week and the rest of our walk with you, Lord Jesus, in our lives. And as we get ready to get off the air, we always like to say, Matthew 28:19-20, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world. Amen. God bless you all, And until next time, amen.